God for His gospel. Thankful that we can give the gospel out to those that need it. And guess what? That's everyone, right? The Bible tells us we're all sinners and all need of the gospel. But I praise God that we have the privilege of living in a city that we can do what we just sang about, or I just sang about, giving His name, proclaiming His name among the nations, among people from every tribe, tongue, and every nation. And what a privilege that we have to be here living in New York City and ministering here in New York City. Sometimes, let's be honest, it can be a little discouraging. Sometimes, let's be honest, it can be a little frustrating. You know, help me out. I'm not the only one that gets frustrated now, all right? You know, sometimes. But hey, what an awesome privilege to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to be a light for Him as the Word of God commands us to be. In the book of Jonah, we find an amazing story. And I entitled the message this morning, Lessons from a Prejudiced Prophet. Because really with Jonah, we find a man who did not lack faith, but he was prejudiced. You think about Jonah, and it's easy kind of to sit at this side of history and look back at Jonah and to kind of throw stones at him a little bit and say, hey, Jonah, man, you crazy guy, what were you doing? But really, when you think about what was going on at that time in his culture, in his day, in his life, we can maybe find some things that are even true in our own life that we didn't even realize are there. You think about Jonah here. We think about Jonah and God's calling on him. So God comes to him, and we just read chapter 1, so we're not going to read that again. But we find God coming to him and calling him to go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. And Jonah does pretty much the opposite. We just read it. He gets up and he says, no way, I'm going to Tarshish. And so he gets in a boat and he heads to Tarshish, the opposite direction. And he is not going to go to Nineveh, even though God himself spoke to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. We look at Jonah and say, why in the world are you going there? Why are you not going to Nineveh? And he tells us in chapter 4, we'll get there in just a few minutes, why he did not go to Nineveh right away, but he fled instead to go to Tarshish. And it comes down to this. He did not want those people in Nineveh to be spared. He was prejudiced, if we can use that term, against them. He did not like them. Now, you have to understand, at that time, the Ninevites were not what we would call God-fearing people. They were not living in what we would call the Bible Belt, right? These are people that hated God. These are people that would do horrible, horrible things to their enemies. They were a godless society, a godless city-state there, and they hated God, and they lived in such a way to demonstrate that hatred towards God. You look at Jonah, Ninevites were the enemy of Jonah and his people. I mean, they were literally the enemies of them. And so God is telling Jonah, go to these people who you look at with such disdain, and they are God haters, and they are people that are living in such a rebellious state that there's this open sin and violence. And in fact, they are even physically your enemy. And go and preach to those people. Now put yourself in that place. God says to you, all right, I'm taking you out of New York City and I'm going to send you, and just imagine, to a difficult place where people hate you, where people want to kill you even, a godless society where they want nothing to do with your God. You know, we would maybe hesitate a little bit ourselves, be honest. We would maybe give it some pause. And that's what happened to Jonah. But we want to look at this morning lessons that we can learn from his life that prejudice will do and will bring into his life. And let's pray and ask God to speak to us as we look here throughout the book of Jonah this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, your word is true. We heard that even mentioned this morning. Without your word, we're hopeless. We're lost. The Bible even says that without your word, we don't even know how to be saved. And God, we thank you for that. We have your word this morning. I thank you that there's a church here that says the word of God is the final authority. A church here that believes that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so, Lord, this morning we are opening this scripture. We're opening your word, and we want to hear from you. We want you to speak to us. But Lord, as also we read in scripture, what good is it if we listen but we don't go out and live it? And so, God, I'm asking that You would change us, open our hearts, help us to be honest before You, help us to be honest with ourselves. Lord, speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that I can see about prejudice, and we'll see it there in the first couple of verses, just talking generally about Jonah, is prejudice will render any captive. Prejudice will render any captive. You think about Jonah here. He was a preacher. He was a prophet. He was a man of God. You know, you think about Jonah, and specifically here, Jonah heard from God Himself, and God said to Jonah specifically, go to Nineveh. You think about that calling on Jonah's life. You think about that calling from God down to Jonah to go to Nineveh. He was a preacher. He was a prophet that had a direct command from God, and yet he said no. Yet he ran away. We think about prejudice and how it can render any of us captive, and think about it in our life. Often our first response when we talk about prejudice, and prejudice can be demonstrated in many different ways. It can be an ethnic thing. It could be an economic thing. It could just be a preference thing. And we're going to look at several of these different areas that we could even find that in our lives. But the fact is, it can render any one of us captive. Here is Jonah, a prophet of God. And we find his life captive by his prejudice. Notice also that in that we will find that God will deal with him. But it will render any captive, any captive. Many times we have the seeds of prejudice towards people in our minds, and we like to cover that up. We like to bury that. We like to push that off to the side rather than admitting and dealing with it in our own heart, in our own mind. You think about that in your own life. I asked you a moment ago, would you be honest? Would we be honest in our life? Who is it that I'm unwilling to go and share the gospel with? Who is it, maybe even, we're going to bring this down to in our own city where God has placed us and where God has called us, those people that I am unwilling to share the gospel with? Those that I, when I am around them, I am silent. My words stop. What is it in my life and in my heart that is causing me to fail to be obedient to God's command in my life? To preach the gospel. Because really we see number two, prejudice will render you disobedient. Prejudice will render you disobedient. Think about Jonah here. God says specifically to Jonah, verse number two, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. But because Jonah has prejudice, verse number three, Jonah rose up and fled to Tarshish. He went exactly the opposite way. Prejudice in his life caused him to be disobedient. And I ask you, in your life, we are commanded to be salt and to be light. We are commanded to give out the gospel. But who is it that I am being disobedient towards? Maybe they live across the street from you. Maybe they live in your apartment building. Maybe they're your coworkers. Maybe they're people that you see in the store. Or they're people that you pass on the street. And because of your prejudice, because of the pride that you are holding on to in your heart, you have become disobedient in giving them the gospel. We see with this disobedience, and mark it down, and Brother Dan mentioned it so well, disobedience will take you down. You see that with Jonah. That as he begins to disobey with God, we've all heard it before, right? Now he goes away from the presence of the Lord. He goes down to Joppa. I mean, just stop for a moment and think about that. He thought he could run away from the presence of the Lord. We look at that, we say, how, Jonah, can you run away from the presence of the Lord? Jonah, you can't do that. God is everywhere. God sees. And we look at Jonah and we say, Jonah, why would you do that? And then we go our way our week, this week, and we'll hold on to our little pet sin that we think no one sees. We'll hold on to our little prejudice in our heart and we think no one sees. But can I encourage you, God sees your heart. God sees my heart. When we think about that, God sees our heart. That number one should scare you and scare me. And number two, it should encourage me and encourage you. should scare me because he sees where I'm disobedient to him, but encourage me because then he can begin to work in my life in those areas. He can begin to draw me to himself in those areas. But Jonah here, he goes down into Joppa and he goes down into the belly. He goes down into the ship and he goes down into the belly of the fish eventually. When you disobey God, it will take you down. When you disobey God, mark it down as it says even in verse number 3, you will pay the fare thereof. Sin costs you. I like what Brother Dan said. You know, we think that if I surrender to God, then he's going to just give my life and wrap it up and I'm going to be captive to that and it's going to be a miserable existence. Hey, look at Jonah here. Look at Jonah. The miserable came when he disobeyed and he ran from God. And in your life, if you want to be miserable, run from God. If you want to be miserable, disobey God. If you want to be miserable, disregard His word. Because that's what Jonah did, and here we find him. In the bottom of the sea, in the belly of a fish. I'm not a big fish eater. I can't even imagine being in the belly of a fish. And there he is. We say, Jonah, how's your disobedience going for you? How's your prejudice helping you here? It will take you down. It will take you down. I like what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you disobedient to the great commission that God has called you to obey? That He has called me to obey. When we are disobedient, it will take us down. And our life will become miserable. We're living for Christ and yet disobeying Him. Prejudice will render you disobedient. Thirdly, now I want us to get this morning. This is the crux of this. Prejudice will render you spiritually blind. Prejudice will render you spiritually blind. And I think that can be said and manifested in several different ways. We see it here in Jonah's life, so we know the story. Verse number 2, chapter number 2 of Jonah. Jonah is in the fish's belly. He cries out, praise the Lord. The Lord cried to him again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, as it says there in verse number 1 of chapter 3. He repents, he comes out, and the whale spits him up, and the word of God comes to him again saying, hey, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. You know, it's amazing between chapter 3, verse number 1, the same command that he gives in chapter 1, verse number 2. This detour is caused by disobedience. This misery that he comes into his life is caused by his disobedience. And by his prejudice. But here we find, so he gets up here, he gets up and he goes to Nineveh and he begins to preach and to cry against it. And we know what happens. Look at verse number 6 of chapter number 3. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and he covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king that and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste of anything, nor let them feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He said He would do unto them, and He did it not. Jonah goes in, preaches, and the entire city from the king on down repent and turn to God in sackcloth and ashes. Can I just get an amen there that if we went into a city, we preached the gospel, and the entire city, from the top ruler of that city, say for us the mayor, all the way down, turned to God and repented, we would rejoice. We would be excited. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think we'd be a little excited. I mean, we wouldn't need coffee the next morning. We'd be excited. We'd be up and at it. But Jonah, chapter 4, verse 1. But Jonah, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. Okay, let me get this straight. Jonah, you go into a city, you preach and cry against it, the entire city repents. And you're angry? Jonah, you go in, you cry again. I mean, by any standards, any one of us would say, hey, that's the greatest missionary I know. I don't know any missionaries that have gone into a city, have gone into a country, and man, all the top, all the down, everyone's repenting. I tell you what, that would be exciting. Jonah, no, he's exceedingly angry. And what does he say in verse number 2? And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. Get this, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah, you have gone in and you have preached and the city repented. And here you are exceedingly displeased and angry. Why? Because you knew that God is a loving God. The God that you serve is a God of compassion and a God of forgiveness, a God of mercy, a God of grace. We say, man, Jonah, you got it. You have the faith. And the city repented, yet here is Jonah angry. Because he is prejudiced and he doesn't want those people to be saved. God, I knew that you would do this. All the way back, I tell you, if you read the book of Jonah, it really is a book of faith. Here's a man that knew that God was going to save them, would repent if they would turn. And here we find Jonah spiritually blind. I mean, can we say this is more spiritual? Is there anything more spiritually blind? That you go into a city, you preach, and the city repents, and you're angry. Now, if you think Jonah is spiritually blind at this point, let's read another couple verses. And this is about to get to a next level, as they say. Verse number 4. I love the Lord's response. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Jonah, really? Seriously? I mean, you've already been in the belly of a fish. I thought we learned a couple lessons there, but no. Verse number 5, here's Jonah's response. And Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. I'm going to see Jonah sitting there. God, I'm hoping you change your mind. I want you to destroy them. God, I want you to destroy them still. I know that I went in. I know that I preached. I know that the whole city repented, but I want you to destroy them still. And verse number 6, and the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad for the gourd. And God, verse number 7, prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that Jonah prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and he wished in himself to die, and he said, it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah. Verse number 9. Here God brings it to a head. And God said unto Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Can we just underscore spiritually blind? Then saith the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which it came up in a night, and it perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Jonah, you are so spiritually blind that you are sitting outside of Nineveh crying over a plant that died and crying over a city that was saved. That is spiritual blindness. And we look at Jonah and we say, Jonah, what were you thinking? But as I mentioned in the beginning, can we take this back around? I think God can teach us a lesson here. Because often we're in the same boat as Jonah. Spiritually blind. Can I ask you it this way? What is the plant or the gourd that you are holding on to that you count worth more than even the lives of people? What is it that you're holding on to that you value higher than giving out the gospel to those around you? I can't answer that question for you, but I can answer it in my life. You can only answer that in your life. What is it that you're holding on to so tightly and so dearly that is coming between you and giving out the gospel? Maybe it's even prejudice, like we said, where you look at certain people and you say, you know what? Maybe it's even prejudice towards sinners. Sometimes in our city, we look around and it's a city full of sinners. We recognize that. But can I encourage you to go look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6? Turn over there quickly if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Some of my favorite verses in Scripture are right here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And we read those verses and we say, see, God doesn't want them. See, man, they don't deserve the gospel. Why am I wasting my time giving the gospel to those that reject it? Why am I wasting my time giving the gospel out to sinners that want nothing to do with it? And we stop there instead of reading the very, very next verse. Verse number 11. And such were some of you. Such was I. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Why in the world do I think I am better than anyone else? Can I just say I'm a sinner saved by grace? Undeserved grace. And let me encourage you here this morning. I don't know the spiritual condition of everyone here this morning. So can I take a moment and share with you that incredible grace? The Bible tells us that we're all sinners. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. Sometimes when we talk about sin and I ask people, you know, are you a sinner? You know, you get a lot of responses. Well, I'm a pretty good person. I go to church. You know, I'm not as bad as the next guy. I'm not as bad as this person or that person. Well, that's not the question. The question is, are you a sinner? And have you fallen short of the glory of God? And God Himself says that every single human being has. It's not a judgmental statement. It's just a fact. It's a truth. That every single one of us are sinners. That every single one of us, all the way back to Adam in the garden, all the way down to us and the generations to come, we are sinners. And the Bible says that the judgment of our sin, the penalty for our sin, it puts it this way, for the wages of sin is death. The payment for our sin is death. And we understand the difference between a wage and a gift, right? A wage is something I earn. I go to a job and I work and I earn a wage. It's something that I have earned it. I deserve it. I worked for it. And He is saying the wage of your sin, you rightfully and I rightfully deserve death. And it's eternal death. I deserve hell. And let me put it this way. We all deserve to go to hell. The Bible says that the wages of our sin is death. Several years ago, I was talking to a man out in Long Island at a bus stop and giving the gospel to him. And I was talking with him and I began to share the gospel with him and he stopped me at this point. And he said, you know what? There's no way a loving God would send me to hell. There's no way that a loving God would send a person like me to hell. And I said, well, that's interesting. Why do you think that? And he says, you don't understand. I have a brain tumor. And all day and all night, my life is full of pain. I can't sleep at night. It's inoperable. I'm going to die soon. My life has just been an absolute pain. And there is absolutely no way that God, after allowing me to live through this, would a loving God would send me to hell. And you know what the fact of the matter is? I agree to a point that there is absolutely no way a loving God would send him to hell without making a way of escape. And can I share with you this morning, that is the difference. The Bible says that the wages of sin, what we justly deserve, that we have justly earned, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift is something I have not earned. A gift is something I don't deserve. We were talking about that recently with Havila, as she just had a birthday a couple days ago. And I told her, you know what, it's your birthday, but you don't deserve any gifts. Now, as a 9-year-old, they don't appreciate that. We gave her gifts. Don't look at me that way. But you know what, I can't walk up to you and say, hey, it's my birthday today. Where's my gift? Give it to me. I wish. That would be wonderful. But that's not how gifts work. I can't walk up to anybody and say, you owe me a gift. You owe me something. No, a gift is given freely. And received freely. We don't deserve it. But the Bible says that the gift of God is what? Eternal life. It's heaven. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not of my own good works. But it's like he said here in 1 Corinthians. You're a sinner. But you've been washed. You've been sanctified. And that is what God wants to do in your heart today. If you're sitting here this morning and you'd say, you know what, I've never put my trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you say, I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die. Can I just encourage you that God in heaven looks down and he sees you and he says, I want you to be saved. He looks down and you could say, I don't think a loving God would send me to hell. But he is saying, I love you so much that I sent my son to die for you so that you could be saved. That's how much he loves you. Can I encourage you, don't hold on to your good works that so many people think, hey, if I just live a good life, no, you're a sinner. In fact, the Bible says that for by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't walk down the streets of heaven saying, look at me, I made it here. I can't walk down the streets of gold saying, hey, look at me, how great I am. I made it to heaven because I didn't deserve it. You won't deserve it. You can't earn it. It only comes through crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ and turning to him in salvation. And praise God, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, don't put it off. We'd love to talk with you afterwards and share that gospel with you. If you're here this morning, you say, I am saved. Can I ask you the question, are you sharing that gospel with others? What is it that's stopping you? Can I say that there's something big, I think, that is stopping us in our generation right now? Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you would. Young people, can I talk to you for a moment? Second Timothy chapter 1. Paul writing here to Timothy. And I think he deals with something that we are facing in our lives, especially young people, you're going to face it going forward. You know what it is for us? That stops us. You know, when we think about prejudice can be against something or someone, but it also can be towards something or someone. If you offer me today fish or a pizza, I am prejudiced toward the pizza. I would like the pizza over the fish. We can have prejudice towards something. And so many times in our life, our prejudice is towards our own pride. What do people think about me? That's what is blocking me. And here in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, Paul writing to Timothy, a young man in the faith, in verse number 7, he says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You realize this morning that God has not given you the spirit of fear. God has not given you. In fact, if you have that spirit, it's not from God, and most likely it's pride in your life. This world today is saying, listen, young person, you're a fool if you follow Jesus. How about us older people? I'm saying I'm older. That feels good, right? How about us? All of us. The world is saying you're a fool if you follow Jesus Christ. You're a bigot if you believe the Bible's true. And we allow that to cause us to be silent because we are afraid of what they think of us. We're afraid of how they are going to view us. If we could put it this way, that prejudice towards our pride is causing us to be disobedient and standing up for God. He says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but what has He given us? A spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Praise God that I can stand today in the boldness of the Holy Spirit. If you're a saved person, that you have that boldness. Live in it. Live under His control. God has given you the spirit of power. That doesn't mean you go smack people over the head because He says He gave you the spirit of love. And of a sound mind. The world around me says I'm crazy. I just say this book is true. I think about it today. Across this world, this book is being preached. To how many people, the Word of God, it's been tried, it's been studied, it's been ridiculed for years and years and years, never proven this untrue. It's no falsehoods in here in God's Word. I'm so thankful that I can stand here with a sound mind saying, this is the Word of God. We have it. We have God's Word that we can live. I think about all the fulfilled prophecy we find in here. We have a sound mind and a sound Scripture. He says, don't live by fear. At this time, Paul is in prison facing death. I can imagine why they are a little afraid. You just imagine next week, Pastor Thomas is up here preaching. They come in, arrest him, and we're going to kill him the next week. I wonder how many people will show up to church the following Sunday. We would be like, I don't know. He says, don't be controlled by fear. Even if the environment and the circumstances around you are anti-God, and young people, it is going to be more and more anti-God unless God sweeps in with revival. And he goes a step beyond that. Because now in verse number 8, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Again, that pride that we are prejudiced towards. I don't want anyone to think I'm a fool. I don't want anyone to look at me and think I'm crazy. I'm one of those crazy Christians that follows Jesus. Hey, we are allowing shame to come in our life. It says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Why in the world would we be ashamed of Him? Why in the world? You know, I like to use this illustration for this and I grew up in Wisconsin. I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. I like the Green Bay Packers. And I really like it when they play against New York, against the Giants. And I really like it when they play against New York and the Giants and they beat them. But as I am often reminded in our church in Brooklyn, we lose to the Giants. I have my Green Bay Packer sweatshirt and my hat. When they go out and they do well and they play well, man, I usually wear that the next day. No shame. Let me be honest, just recently they played New York and they got beat pretty good by New York. Now, didn't stop being a Green Bay Packer fan, but I didn't wear the hoodie the next day. I didn't wear the hat. Why? I was kind of embarrassed by that. Can I tie this down and bring this down? There's an awesome, awesome phrase here. Look, if you would, at verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us and hath called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, get this, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. He says, there in the middle of verse number 10, did you get it? Who hath abolished death? Jesus Christ abolished death. Why in the world would I be ashamed of Him? He hath saved me, not according to my works, but according to His own purpose. Why would I be ashamed of Him? And yet we hold on to that pride, that prejudice. Why? Why? When we live controlled by that prejudice, whether it's against others or whether it's toward our own pride. Lastly and in closing, back to Jonah. Prejudice will render you powerless. Powerless. Could I even say it this way? Pride will lead you to living powerless. For time, we're not going to read it, but could you just imagine with me? We already read it. Chapter number 4. Jonah there goes and he preaches to Nineveh. The entire city from the king on down. Repent. Did you get it? The entire city from the king on down. Repent in sackcloth and ashes. We're not talking just a simple, oh, I'm sorry. But no, there was true, genuine, an expression of repentance. The entire city repents and Jonah goes outside of the city. And here is Jonah, this prophet. I don't know, maybe even just to say that he was the most, if we could put it this way, successful prophet going into a city, preaching, the whole city repents. And here is Jonah, outside of the city, crying over a dead plant. I mean, literally, Jonah is sitting on the side of a hill outside of Nineveh, crying over a plant that died because it was eaten by a worm. A prophet of God, a preacher, a man who was used by God in a way that very few of us have ever seen. If we're honest and looking at his life, and here he is, powerless. Can I ask you this question today? Are we willing to allow our lives to become powerless by running from God? By becoming disobedient to His word, His command? Are we willing to allow our lives to become powerless because we are more concerned about our own pride than about the gospel and the need for it in our city? You are in an incredibly unique place. We are surrounded with people. People that need the Savior. And often our response to them is not the response that Jesus had. Jesus had the response that He looked on the multitudes and He was moved with compassion. But our response is a lot like Jonah's. We look on the multitudes and we're annoyed. We're moved with disgust. We're moved with our own pride and our own self-will. God has called us to reach our city. God has called missionaries to go around the world, but how about our city? That's us. We're here. It's a sad thing that so many times we're quicker to send missionaries around the world, we're quicker to support missionaries around the world, but we won't walk across the street and share the gospel with those that live next to us. It's a sad thing that we're quicker and more supportive of people around the world giving out the gospel, but in our own families, we're unwilling to speak up, to lead, to be used of God. God has called us, and God has given us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And can we take these lessons from Jonah, these lessons from a prejudiced prophet that led him to be a powerless prophet in the end, and ask God to change us, to ask God to mold us, to work in our heart and in our life. Let's have our heads bowed, our eyes closed. their heads bowed, our eyes closed, I would like to give just a moment before we turn it over for our song. Would you look into your heart? Would you look into your own life? And would you see if there's any prejudice in there? Who is it maybe that I'm unwilling to share the gospel with? Maybe it's prejudice against someone. Maybe it's prejudice towards our own pride. Towards our own self-love. Would you be willing to get it out? To deal with it? Because when we are disobedient, it will only take us down. If you're here today and you say, I've never been saved, I've never even put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you are in a church that wants you to accept Christ. I don't look down on you because, like I said, such were somebody, we're all the same. We're sinners. I need a Savior. Get that settled today. I would encourage you to talk to us. But how about it? Would you allow God to work in your life? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you saved us. Undeserving. Unworthy. And Lord, now that you saved us, you have called us to be a light of the gospel. You have called us to be proclaimers of the gospel. Help us, I pray, to deal with anything in our heart that would hinder that. Lord, you have placed us even here this morning, specifically in a city that needs the gospel. Are we doing our part? Are we doing our part? Help us. Help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.